Joining me now on our April edition of Our Town is Ned Hixon, editor of the Sayous Law News. Right?
That's correct.
Well, so
last I checked.
Last you checked. That was your that was your title. Hey, we're bringing you in today because you and I were talking about a string of articles that are going to be coming out in some of the papers around here, including Sayous Law News and Cottage Grove. And it's sort of a thing that you're sharing with these other papers, sort of a division of responsibility, so to speak, because it's a very important topic, and it covers a lot of different issues within that topic, and it's about suicide. Talk a little bit about what prompted this to happen.
Well, a couple of months ago, I got an email from an organization that is made up primarily of journalists, and the idea was in the month of April for a week, 7th to the 14th, to have all different media, print, radio, television, anyone who is doing anything on suicide for that week, to focus specifically on that, and then to funnel that all into this organization in Portland that was going to get it all into one place so that everyone would have access to it. So I thought that was a really neat idea, but my concern was that specifically for us being a smaller paper to contribute, that we might kind of get lost in the shuffle. And I thought, how could we have an impact? How could we participate, but in a way that would work for us and our readers? So my first thought was, well, maybe we'll team up with the Cottage Grove Sentinel, where I'm the managing editor, and we'll just, between the two of us, do a little something and try to focus on a couple of areas. But then the more I got to thinking about it, I thought, well, why stop there? So I talked with the editor at the Cresswell Chronicle, Erin Tierney, and sat and talked with her and thought, hey, would you be willing to collaborate with us, even though we're not part of the same, newspaper network or any of that? You know, some things are just more important than that. And she was really excited to be a part of that. And so then I thought, well, why not ask Newport News Times, which is also one of our papers. And I talked with the editor there, Brett Yeager, who actually used to be a reporter at the Sayous Law News. And so between the three of us, we decided, hey, we could each take a chunk of a very large scope and important topic and cover it in a way that we would never be able to do individually. And by collaborating together, we could approach four different subjects and share all of that information with each other through our papers and have each paper responsible for a segment of this investigative kind of look into suicide. And Oregon has a very high suicide rate.
Is the rate of suicide, of course, in Oregon, you mentioned that it's a very high rate, but is the rate higher over the last decade, or are we just more in tune with it because we're getting hit with it every time we hear something happens? In other words, are we just hearing about it more because the world is getting smaller, or is it actually becoming an increased problem?
Well, from what I've read on it, it is an increased problem. And there seems to be a parallel between, oddly enough, the advent of social media, the age of communication seems to actually be working against the idea that we're getting closer together. And in actuality, we're getting farther apart. More people are feeling isolated. And so, at least in Oregon, and Lane County has, the suicide rate within Lane County is higher than the rest of the state. So all of these newspapers, although Newport News Times isn't in Lane County, Cresswell is, Sayous Law News, obviously, and the Cottage Grove Sentinel. So we thought, well, let's look specifically into our counties and into our communities and try to write stories that we could use universally within all of the newspapers, because the subject itself applies to everyone and anyone. Most people have had some association with suicide in one way or another, either a family member or a friend or personally. So it's something that impacts a lot of different people. And this was just kind of a chance to explore that and talk with individuals and get the conversation going. And, this isn't Suicide Prevention Month. That's not till September. Right. But the idea was, well, if we start laying the groundwork for a dialogue now and maybe continue this over the next several months leading into September, maybe once a month or whatever, that by the time we got to September, we have a foundation dialogue already in place and we can just start talking about it openly.
So what are some of the areas that each paper is taking up? Like for Sayous Law News, for example, issue right. came out today. Talk a little bit about what's happening with your article.
Okay. The article that's in today's paper, which is also going to be in our paper, the Sentinel, the Cresswell Chronicle, and Newport News Times, was actually written by Zach Silva, who is at the Cottage Grove Sentinel. And we're kind of looking at it as a chronological sort of progression through these stories. So he's going to be starting with teens and students and kind of exploring that aspect of suicide, because the highest rates are actually, you kind of think immediately that it's middle-aged people for one reason or another, but it's actually the highest rates are at the teenage rate and at the senior rate, their senior age areas. Sometimes it's because, you know, for seniors, it's a matter of, you know, their spouse is gone and they feel, you know, alone, or maybe they have an illness that they, you know, this getting progressively worse, lots of different reasons. And then with teens, you know, there's the bullying aspect of it. There's the isolation aspect of it. You know, there's the hormonal aspect of it. There's lots of different reasons. Mm-hmm. So Zach is covering that, and he's working with the school district there in Cottage Grove. But, you know, we're writing in a way that it would appeal to anyone.
Well, the information will be good to any teen in any community, probably.
Yeah. Right. That was the thought behind it. So that's what's in our edition today. And then throughout the month, each Wednesday, for example, the next one is going to be focusing specifically on homelessness and mental illness and its relation to suicide. And that's going to be contributed by the Newport News Times. Again, we're printing them in all each other's papers. And then we're doing one specifically on seniors and the veteran population. And then finally, the final piece is going to be from Erin Tierney at the Crestwell Chronicle. And she's doing the sort of, what about those left behind? The spouse of someone who commits suicide, children, parents, that sort of thing. And what that experience is like, and what are the options that you have available in helping deal with that.
That would probably be, to me, the toughest thing to deal with is being the one left behind. Because mm-hmm. sometimes you can understand what someone goes through, maybe to say, you know, I've had enough. But yet the fact that you miss them, even when a loved one dies unexpectedly, or even when you're expecting, you know, like an illness or something that takes a loved one, that empty space it leaves behind can still take so long to overcome. Or come over or get over. And then with suicide, adding that little bit of, wow, I didn't know that they
were
dealing with
this. Yeah. How did I not know? Yeah. And that's part of the main thrust of this series is, in the past, newspapers and the media in general have always treated suicide as something that you don't really talk about, you don't report on, unless it's a public official or it takes place in a public way. And the idea was that, well, by talking about it, you're going to create the possibility of a contagion sort of situation where mm-hmm. other people say, oh, well, I'm going to do it because it was reported on, maybe, you know, it's going to influence my decision more. And so we thought, well, let's just not talk about it. But what we discovered is that that's not necessarily the case, that in most cases, opening up that dialogue is really the way to prevent the thoughts of suicide and to allow people to discuss their feelings. So the main reason we're doing this is to open up that communication and to get, not to normalize it, but to make it so that people don't feel like they can't talk about it.
Yeah, not like it's behind closed doors.
Right.
You know, and so on. And, you know, I certainly understand some of that as far as the aspect of reporting on it, mm-hmm. Especially in the radio medium. You can't give it enough time to really tell the story in a way where you'll get a positive feedback and where you can start talking about it. Whereas in print, you guys can really delve into, mm-hmm. you know, the serious side of it and give some solutions and some ask some more questions as far as that goes. So it makes more sense to really delve into it from a print side.
Yeah, I think the print medium is definitely the one that has the potential to have the biggest impact because, you know, even in a television story, you have a snippet essentially. You know, you'll have a very short period of time. Same thing in radio. But with print, we can spend time, which was the whole reason behind this, was to be able to have each paper be able to spend the kind of time that they would need to really do a good job on this and to really explore it. And certainly more than any of us could ever do individually in exploring these topics on all these, you know, four different levels.
What have you found in putting this together to be some of the important things that have come up while you were doing the research for it?
Oh, you know, the number one thing is how often either family members of individuals who have taken their own lives feel or ask the question, well, what could I have done? How did I miss this? How did I not take it seriously enough? Did I just overlook the signs because I didn't want to see the signs? The opportunity in their minds to have prevented that is something that just stays with them and never really goes away. And the flip side of that is for the individuals who, you know, who unfortunately make that decision for themselves to end their lives. A lot of it comes down to just feeling like they can't talk to anyone, that people won't take them seriously, or, you know, in our society, someone who thinks that way is weak-minded, you know, oh, come on, you know, suck it up. You can, you know,
right.
You can do this. You know, you don't need to, you know, you're just being having a pity party or whatever the reason. But you don't really know to the extent that how someone is thinking until you're in their shoes.
And it's not just one event that brings them to that decision.
Sure.
Usually, you know, and you can't understand all the underlying things that are happening, you know, in a short conversation with somebody.
Yeah.
And they're reasoning in their own head, you know, who knows? I mean, who knows what they go through? You don't really get a chance unless someone leaves details of why they did it, you know, to go, you know, why did you do it?
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. And it's, you know, it's that lack of conversation on so many different levels, whether it's, you know, individual level, community level, that is one of the areas that we hope to change, or at least help lay the groundwork for changing by making it something that's not taboo to talk about it, whether we talk about it individually or as a community. And, you know, and ultimately, this is not something that's going to get solved on the national level. It's something that has to take place within each individual community. And part of the reason that we were excited about working on this collaboratively is that, you know, even if we were to do a four-part series or any part of the newspaper, we're only going to reach a certain number of people. Mm-hmm. So the other side to this is that by working collaboratively with these other newspapers, the things that we're learning here are going to be reaching people in Newport, people in Cottage Grove, Crestwell, I mean, upwards of 40,000 people. Each of us is mm-hmm. going to have a chance to impact that many people within our readership. So that combined readership, it makes a big difference.
Do you have some of the numbers of Lane County as far as that goes on how many annually suicides there are?
Well, I know that they just today, I just received a packet from Lane County that is the trans risk factors and recommendations from the public health department. And I'm just delving into that now. So this is one of the parts of the series that's most interesting is being able to, you know, we still have information coming in and we've just started receiving letters from people saying that they want, you know, that they want to have something to say about this, either through their own personal experience as someone who is who contemplated taking their own life, or someone who is the spouse or brother or sister or father or parent of someone who has taken their own life. And that stuff is rolling in, and what we're hoping is that those things will continue to come in and that we can continue the dialogue afterward. But we're still discovering things, you mm-hmm. know, after we each published the editorial, which was in last Wednesday's edition. We all published the same editorial explaining what we were doing and why we were doing it and when it was going to start and what the areas were we were covering. We've also decided as a group that any letters that we get, letters to the editor that we receive from any of the newspapers that deal with this specific subject, we're going to run them in each other's newspapers. Traditionally, you only run letters from people within your readership, but we're, you know, we think it's important enough that we should mm-hmm. get the voices of all those people who are reading the parts of these series out there to other people and to share, even if you don't live within that community.
I think it would be tough, you know, to look at this from someone who has like been personally affected by it and try to say, you know, I wish I could go back and try to have a conversation prior to this happening. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really, I don't know that it's probably detrimental to a person's psyche to think that way. Mm-hmm. So it's what about after this is all over with, what about delving into services that are available to people that are dealing with this? Is that something that the Left Behind article is going to deal with?
Yeah, we're going to cover that in that article. Some of the services that are available to those people, to the people who are either contemplating it or people who have experienced it and are trying to deal with the aftermath of that. And like I said earlier, I hope that this is just the beginning of a dialogue, that it's not a 1 month in and then we're out kind of thing, that we want to continue working on this.
Right. Again, it's out today. There's one article out today, and then the next 3 weeks there'll be three more articles coming out there.
Yeah, each Wednesday through the month of April.
All right. And I don't know what else to say other than, you know, pick up your copy and and read it. Ned, thanks for putting this together. I think it's very important. I think we don't talk enough about it, and I think you're right. Maybe shining some light on it will make it easier for people to start talking about it.
Yeah, that's our hope.
All right.
Thanks,
Ned Hixon.
Yeah.
Sayo Slow News. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The month of April features Earth Day, and we'll see what's up with recycling and EMAC. We'll talk with Dave Twombly right after this.